All right, let's do this. We're going live in 5, 4, 3. Good afternoon and welcome back to Intrepid Business. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Joe Lavelle. Good afternoon, Joe. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great today, Todd. Thank you.
You know, this whole subject around search engine marketing, boy, you know, it's one of those things that I know enough to be dangerous, but I also realize that there is such science to this, such a strategy to it, that I fear that I don't know all that I should. And so this conversation that we're about to get into, I think is going to be very informative, not only for me and you, but probably for the audience as well, don't you think?
Well, I couldn't agree more, Todd. I thought I knew something about search until I started researching for this episode and found out what experts these guys really are.
Yeah, well, let's get to it. So we're joined by Mike Moran and Bill Hunt. They are the co-authors of the book Search Engine Marketing, Inc. Mike, Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Well, gentlemen, it's great to have you. Thanks for carving out some valuable time to join us. Mike, let's start with you real quick. Give the audience a quick briefing on you and your background.
Okay. So first, I'm old, so I don't think you want my whole background, but I worked for IBM for 30 years, and that's where I met Bill. We both together were working on IBM's search marketing program. I retired from IBM in 2008 as a distinguished engineer. And I'm now doing consulting for clients, including with Conversion, which is a leading social media agency and search agency in New York City.
All right. Bill, give us the lowdown on you and your background.
Yeah, similar to Mike, 20 years experience in search. I'm another one of the gray hairs of the industry. And then, you know, worked with Mike at IBM. That was the catalyst for the book. From there, went out, created a search agency that I sold to Ogilvy in 2007. 2009, attempted to retire and realized that there was some pretty interesting insights in mining search data. Created the current company, Back Azimuth Consulting, to basically mine search data for searcher intent to figure out what is it people are looking for when they actually use a search engine.
Outstanding. All right. Well, the book, it's not actually a new book, but I believe you're coming out with a new edition. But the book, Search Engine Marketing, Inc. Mike, why don't you lead us off and give us the 10,000-foot view of what this book's all about, who's it for, and what's its purpose?
So it's for anyone with a neck. You should buy 3 of them for everyone you know. No, it's for search marketers. It's for people who need to interact with search marketers. So anybody in digital marketing, technology people, product people, the kinds of folks that really care whether someone is coming to their website to buy, those are the people the book is for. And this is the third edition of the book, as you pointed out. And I think what's made our book different from the other search marketing books is that we do talk to you about the technological joys that you have to go through when you're optimizing your website for search. We do talk about all those ever-changing things that are, you know, low-level advice for you. But the other thing we do is we talk about the business side of it as well. So we help you understand that creating quality content is important, not just for search, but for lots of other reasons. And we help you understand what the value of doing that is. We like to say that search marketing is about, it's much more about marketing than about search, because if you're not really selling anything based on all the things you're doing, it's not really marketing. It's just kind of publicity or some other kind of thing that isn't connected to sales. And our book tries to really connect the dots between the technology that is a critical part of being successful and the business, which is just as critical but often overlooked.
Fantastic. I guess, Mike, search has been around for a while. Are there still companies that don't understand, or, you know, what's the compelling reason to update your book?
Well, I think that there are definitely companies that still don't understand. I think more to the point, there are a lot of companies that think they understand, but they don't because they may have understood what search was like 3 years ago or 4 years ago or even longer. And they don't realize how much it changes all the time. And so the reason that we keep updating the book, and this is the third edition, is that enough of the lower level advice changes. It's amazing how much of the high level advice is pretty much the same, but the lower level advice for things of trying to really help you understand the ins and outs of what to do, those areas have changed dramatically. And especially in the last couple of years, so even people who bought the previous edition of our book, they're still operating in an environment where they may not understand the ramifications of the search engines stopping the flow of keyword data to your analytics system, or they may not understand how in the old days, just trying to get links to your site was enough to show a search engine that you had quality content. And now search engines are a lot more sophisticated about how they do that. So there's a number of things that have changed just over the last couple of years that if you're still operating with older ideas of how search marketing works, you're probably being left behind.
Bill, walk me through this. I mean, this is not a science or an art that you learn once and then you can apply it forever. I mean, this thing is constantly changing, right? I mean, I continue to read articles virtually, it seems like quarterly, if not more so, that Google keeps changing its algorithms and refining it and improving it and doing this and doing that. I mean, this is something that requires constant attention. I mean, your attention to the details of search engine marketing, never going to stop, yeah?
Oh, totally agree. And I echo Mike that, you know, the higher order stuff, the basics of the algorithm haven't really changed much, but it's all the people have found cool ways or innovative ways to try to fool them. You know, it's sort of that putting the lipstick on a pig. If you got a bad website, it doesn't talk about what you need to talk about and it's not relevant. Nobody else thinks it's relevant. People will try to game the system. And I think that's about the majority. And Google typically on an annual year, you mentioned always changing. They state that they make between 300 and 500 changes to their score, their scoring algorithm every year. And so with that number of changes, you definitely need to be on top of it. Now, it's not one of the things we go into the book is sort of a workflow where you don't have to agonize over it every day. You know, if you start with good content and it's authoritative content and other people in the marketplace think that, that's a pretty good sign. When you start to really tweak some of the dials and things like that, then you start to approach that where you're overly gaming the system. And I think that's one of the things we want to get.
You know, everything Bill says is absolutely correct. I think the other thing that we, Bill and I, are especially sensitive to is most of our business works with large clients. So even if those companies had some kind of crystal ball so that they understood what all the changes were going to be, they would never be nimble enough to be able to respond to them. And so you need to have a much longer term view. So even though things are changing all the time, there are certain principles that if you follow them, and we go into them in detail in the book, you will do okay no matter how the algorithm changes.
I'm glad you followed up, Mike, with that point. I was going to ask you to, how is this all different for a big firm versus a small firm? How should small firms think about it versus large firms?
Well, small firms and big firms should both think about going after quality, as Bill was pointing out. But one of the things that's different between big firms and small firms is that they have different problems. So big firms have the problem of trying to coordinate all the different people that have to work together to make their program effective. So a lot of the times when Bill and I have clients, what we will do is focus on issues like governance, training, other kinds of processes that large companies really need to do because they have to get 10 different people to work together in order to make it work. Small companies typically have a different problem, which is that no one knows who they are. And so for them to break through, they have to come up with some much different approach where they're coming up with content that maybe the larger companies are ignoring. They're understanding their customers better. They're coming up with ideas of what kind of content is interesting. And they're also breaking through by making sure that their information is so credible that the fact that they don't have a known brand name isn't holding people back from wanting to do business with them. And so search marketing isn't easier or harder for big companies or small companies. They just have different problems.
I'm struck, though, Mike, by a comment you guys made earlier that there should be more marketing than search, so more marketing than technical. But I imagine a large organization struggles with this because I bet you, in a lot of cases, this gets boxed into the IT camp. And they're charged with this because, well, they're the smart guys that know computers, and so they should understand and be able to game these algorithms. When in fact, in my view, it really should be under the marketing banner, just because at the end of the day, this is about buying and selling product, right?
So yeah, I mean, what Bill and I often find is that the search marketing program starts in the technology area, especially for search engine optimization or organic search, as it's called. Paid search often does start in marketing, and sometimes you have these weird situations where marketing's running paid search, and you're also seeing the technology people running organic search, and they're never even talking to each other. I mean, one of the things that Bill focuses on in his practice is co-optimizing paid and organic search. And Bill, maybe you want to comment a little bit about that, because I think that if the marketing team really steps up and takes advantage of what they know, they can direct the technology team to fix the parts of the problem that really are technical.
Exactly. And Joe, I think you nailed the problem is that the SEO stuff does have that connotation of being technical. So let's give it to the IT guys where, you know, most of the time, what they're trying to do is sort of shoehorn it into one of those particular technology solutions when, you know, it's a garbage in, garbage out. If you're not using the words people use, if you're not writing content that can be interpreted, I mean, a great example was a whiskey site I was working on recently. And because all the imagery is whiskey, you're on a whiskey site, they never use the word whiskey. So people, they weren't showing up for things like 12-year-old whiskey. And because they didn't have the word whiskey on the page, and that's clearly a marketing function. Not much IT can do other than maybe jamming some words in or things like that. So that's why it really is a blend. And as Mike was talking about, the sort of beauty of trying to make all of these sort of departments work together and fire on all cylinders in a cohesive manner. But because everybody's siloed, that adds to the challenges. And especially the bigger the company, the least likely these pieces are going to work together.
All right. Mike and Bill will return after this quick break. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you by Miles Finch Innovation, LLC, a creative consultancy that is passionate about ideas, imagination, and facilitating a culture of innovation. Miles Finch Innovation helps companies navigate the messy territory of corporate innovation. They're strategic thinking partners who can help you get unstuck and identify creative solutions to your toughest challenges. They also love to train and speak on the subject of creative leadership. Learn more about how they can help you at milesfinchinnovation.com. Miles Finch Innovation, idea-centric, strategically driven, humanly conscious.
All right, we're back with Mike Moran and Bill Hunt, co-authors of Search Engine Marketing Incorporated, the third edition.
Mike, I'd like to follow up on my last question about the difference between large and small businesses. Should a small business be overwhelmed or feel like they're missing something because they can't afford to use some kind of fancy tools that maybe the bigger companies are using?
No, they just have to buy our book. No, the thing that small companies need to do is they need to have confidence that they really understand who their customers are. Small companies, if they know who their customers are, they know what problems their customers have, and they know how to write content that attracts people that have those problems, then they're going to get people to come to their site. So that's the kind of content that not only works for search, but it works in social media as well, because it's helpful content that people will share. And so the focus for a small company ought to be on their differentiation. I mean, I would give this advice to large companies too, but for small companies, it's absolutely imperative. And a lot of the times people don't realize what the marketing definition of differentiation is. They think it's how we're different. But the truth is that all products are different. So what differentiation really is it's a difference that a market will pay for. And so you have to understand what is so different about your product that a particular market is going to pay for it. Then you want to come up with what problems that solves that are different from the problems that are good for your competitors to solve. There must be some that you do a better job on than everybody else. And then you focus your writing of your content around those problems. And then you're going to attract the people who reasonably buy from you. And that's the best advice for a small company that's trying to make a mark and trying to break in where there might be larger competitors that can blanket with lots more content. You need your content to be more targeted.
Mike, let me follow up. This idea of what's the priority? Is it worrying about how you're doing the tagging and using the right keywords, or is content, creating content, the bigger priority? I mean, I'm an old marketing guy, and I have spent a career banging my head against the wall with the frustration of organizations that just don't want to create content or don't know how to do it or don't see the value in it. And in my view, as I understand true success with a search engine marketing campaign, it's all about content. And how do you overcome that challenge from an organization that struggles with it? Joe and I have a business that does nothing but create content for our clients. I'm still boggled by how many organizations and how many small businesses, how many large businesses who have resources struggle and labor to create content.
Well, I guess that I would say that I don't think you need to choose. You know, it's kind of like asking, you know, if you were doing advertising, is it more important to have a good message for your commercial, or do you want to make sure the commercial is filmed properly and it's being shown in the right places and being distributed the way it should be? And the answer is you have to do both. So you can't really pick one or the other and say, if we just focus on that, everything else will be okay. One of the hard parts of search marketing is that everything needs to work together. I mean, that's what I was talking about before when I mentioned that Bill is really focused on co-optimization, bringing together not only the technical and the content and the marketing side for organic search, but also bringing that into paid search as well, because a lot of the same issues really come up where you have to do multiple things at the same time. You have to walk and chew gum at the same time, or else it's not going to work.
Bill, tell me from your opinion, who's out there doing this well? And, you know, maybe not that you know because you've worked with them, but you know by observing.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the real rock stars out there is the guys from Adobe. I don't work with them, so that makes it, I think, a fairer statement. But, you know, these guys really get it. Going back to Todd's question about, you know, marketing and content, you know, these guys have really bridged the gap where they've used in search data to understand what people want. And, you know, if you take, like we have in the book, this idea of the buy cycle, and what they've really done well is try to understand when people are looking for any of the products in their portfolio, how are they looking for it? And how do we know? So somebody that's looking for a photo editor, do they want Photoshop, you know, a relatively expensive, or do they want a cheaper photo editor, or they want a free online photo editor? And what they've done by mining that data, they can actually, you know, almost with laser precision, both in the organic side with content as well as with, you know, sort of their paid ads as well, you know, to make sure that they have the right content for that. You know, there's a variety of other people. I think Absolute Vodka, which is one of my clients, you know, they step back and they're one like that. They agonize over the quality and the music and in the imagery and the lifestyle sort of connotations that they have to their TV commercials. But at the same time, they intuitively know that if somebody's looking for a phrase like vodka or raspberry vodka or just, you know, them, that it's about the product. And then rather than trying to jam some marketing message down their throat, they're really trying to connect with them to make sure they're answering the question. And I think that's exactly the point. You know, companies, they want to tell you what they want to tell you. And that often clashes with either having content that matches a search query or, more importantly, matches the intent. And that's one of the things we try to teach people is when someone does a query, what are they really asking for? And what is our business opportunity to present it to them? And again, I think both these cases with Adobe and Absolute, and probably the one that does it, this blows everybody out of the water, is TripAdvisor. These guys know that when you're looking for something to do in a city, that there's a specific type of content you want. They've created that content, they've curated that content, and they match that intent just amazingly well. So those are some good examples of sites that you can look at to understand the blend between content and technology and all the sort of gorpy details of search engine optimization.
Mike, another thing that causes me to need therapy is when I'm talking to an organization and we're having the dialogue around, all right, what is your customer actually going to type into a search bar to find what you do? And the answers I get, and I'm sure you've got countless examples of this too, there are no way are they in alignment with what the actual user out there, the customer, the potential customer, is actually keying into Google or any other search engine. What's your recommendation? What kind of advice would you provide to an organization that's now going to take this very seriously and how they begin to understand what their market's actually going to type into that bar?
So one of the things that we advise in the book, and, you know, would be the right answer in this situation, is that you don't necessarily have to get this right at the beginning. I mean, if you start out by even being wrong about the keywords that you think are what they're going to type in, you're going to very rapidly find out that you're wrong just by doing some keyword research where you'll take those words, you may brainstorm them with your team, But then you can go to keyword tools and type them in, and you'll suddenly start to see, well, boy, I thought they would use this word, but it looks like this other word is one that they use a lot more. Or, boy, look at all these related words that we didn't even think of that they use. And so as you do that kind of thing, then you're going to start to understand what's going on here. And so in the past, a lot of people give advice about search. They say, okay, you got to get those keywords, and then you got to take those keywords and you got to put them all over your pages to make sure that, you know, that Google's going to find it. And that's a very kind of, it's almost a gaming of the system to think that way, the way Bill was describing before. What instead you want to do is you want to say, I want to understand the language of my customer so that I'm going to communicate with them effectively. And if you do that, you're going to not only speak naturally, but you're also going to use a number of different words, of different phrases that are all things the customer really understands. And where there's really a disconnect, Todd, which is what I think you were getting at, is sometimes the customer's language doesn't really match the language you're using internally. I remember years ago when I was working for IBM, they insisted on calling their ThinkPad computers notebooks because they thought it sounded classier. But the truth is that everybody was searching for the word laptop. And so they were losing about 70% of the traffic to the site because of that. And so if you have this severe disconnect where your audience is speaking one way and you're speaking another way, you're going to have a problem. But the problem isn't just a search problem. If you're looking for a laptop computer and you're on somebody's site where all they say is notebook, 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 that's kind of off-putting. You kind of feel like they're not exactly in the same frame of mind you are, even if you can make the translation in your head. And so using the language of your customer is a very broad way of thinking about the kinds of specific that people often talk about in search marketing about keyword optimization.
Yeah, I've gotten so far as to, I don't use the word keyword when I'm talking about this to a customer because then they begin thinking of single solo words when I've never searched for anything using one word. So I always just try to say key phrases. Is that move in the right direction?
I think you can do that. We tend to say keyword just because I'm not adept enough to be able to switch from keyword to key phrase when it's a one or two word term that we're talking about. But I mean, there's no problem with doing that. And I actually just say things like, what kind of language would your customer use to, when they're talking about this problem? What kind of language would they use when they're thinking about the solution? What kind of language do they use when they are trying to understand the product or the service that would solve it? And so, you know, you can even ask questions like, if they were writing about you and your competitors in a trade magazine, what kinds of words would they be using in the article? And so you can get away from that whole idea of keyword or even key phrases by just kind of broadening the way they're thinking about things. And usually that gives you a much broader result in terms of the richness of the language that they'll think of.
Great. As we wind this down, I'd like to throw out a question to both of you. I guess, Bill, first, what's the biggest mistake people make that you observe?
I think the biggest is chasing the algorithm, you know, trying to take something they read about on the web today and try to implement it. And, you know, as Mike said, you know, you're turning an oil tanker and the bigger the company, the harder it is. And by the time you make those changes, you know, they're out of date. Google's already detected them and negated them. So I think, yeah, chasing the algorithm and being fanatical about, you know, am I doing the latest, greatest thing to make Google or Bing happy? I think that's a huge mistake that people make.
And I'd say the number two mistake, I agree with Bill, that's the number one mistake. I think the number two mistake is almost the exact opposite, which is that people think that this is some kind of technical, arcane, difficult thing to do. And so they just throw up their hands and say, I can't do it. And the truth is that I have worked with a lot of marketers who have been successful in television, for example, and I will ask them, okay, so tell me about this. How does the cable company decide which ads to overlay and how does it bounce off the satellite and come down to the cable company so that they show it at that exact right time? And they look at me blankly and they're like, I have no idea how that happens. There's some technical person who's in charge of all that. I said, that's exactly right. And search marketing is the same thing. You need to figure out what the message is and you need to know enough to be able to guide the technical people as to what the outcome is going to be. But you don't need to be some kind of technologist in order to do this right. You need to get a team around you, whether it's a team that you hire as a consultant or a team that you hire inside your company that can help you do the things you're not good at. But you can't just abdicate responsibility for it because you think you can't do everything. You don't do everything for the things that you're already working on. And so the second mistake, I think, is the opposite of Bill's, which is, you know, they think it's so difficult, complicated, and technical that they don't even try.
Here on that, chasing the algorithm. I love it. Boy, if I had a dollar for every time I observed an organization doing that, goodness gracious. All right. Well, Mike and Bill, I hate to say it, we are out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and get their hands on search engine marketing? Bill, we'll start with you.
Yeah, you can come to my site, back-azmuth.com, and the book's available on Amazon December 17th.
Outstanding. Mike, where can people get in touch with you?
My website is mikemoran.com. And also, you can come to conversion.com, which is the social media agency I work with, or biznology.com, which is the blog that many bloggers talk about digital marketing. And any of those places are a good place to find me.
Outstanding. Mike Moran and Bill Hunt, co-authors of Search Engine Marketing, Inc. Gentlemen, it was great to have you. Thanks again for stopping by and joining us.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that wraps this episode. Again, on behalf of our guests, Mike Moran and Bill Hunt, my co-host, Joe Lavelle, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Business. Come on.